You are watching the Deadfoot Diver Podcast with Kurt the Deadfoot Diver.
Welcome to the Deadfoot Diver Podcast, where we talk about everything diving, tech diving, and especially the benefits of diving with disabilities. I am very pleased today to have on with me Amit Gabber, who is the world deep dive record holder with Guinness. How's it going, Amit?
Thank you very much, sir. I mean, like, thank you for having me in your show. I mean, like, I really appreciate your time. All is good. All is good. Not too bad with me. No.
So it's about like 7 o'clock over there in Cairo right now, right?
It's around right now I'm in Hurghada, Red Sea, so it's 6:27 exactly. Yeah, it's almost 7 o'clock. Yeah, PM. Yeah, it was some time difference, I believe.
Yeah. So tell me, how did you first get into diving, and then how did you end up progressing into deciding to do the world deep dive record?
I started diving very long time ago though. I mean, like, I started in 1991 as an open water diver. That was just right after my high school. Diving wasn't like quite common though. I mean, like in my country back then. And then I was quite young though, so my father just invited me on the course as an award. He's awarding me just after finishing my high school and before I joined the military academy. And then, so I finished the first couple of courses. I mean, like, and then I joined the military academy. And then, luckily I joined the special force just right after, and diving was part of my job as well, as I joined the counterterrorism unit, you know. So I took some classes with the Army as well. Like, I finished some classes in the U.S. Combat Diver Training in CDQC in Fort Bragg with the 7th Group Special Force, and then in Key West in Florida, and then in Spain as well.
Yeah.
And then I'm just here right now. And then I became an instructor. And then instructor trainer, then technical diving. I mean, like, since 1999, you know, I'm teaching technical diving. And that's it. You know, this is all my story about diving.
Wow. So how long were you in the special forces for?
How? You mean how I was I in the special forces?
How many years were you in the special forces?
I graduated from the military academy in 1994, and then just right after I joined the special force, the Ranger troops, and then I retired in 2015. So just like a few years ago. Yeah, so like about like 20 years almost, you know, so 21 years.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, thank you.
So what made you decide to do the world deep dive record?
Well, it's like, this is the thing. I mean, like, planning like a deep dive record, that wasn't a target itself. You know, like, the target is kind of a testing limit, you know, just go with the, I mean, like, I enjoy deep diving. I mean, like, I see myself, I mean, like, it's like, I'm not, I mean, like, I have certain, I mean, like, I'm not, my mindset is different. I mean, like, I'm, it's part of my work in the Army as well, like, kind of target oriented as well. I mean, like, so I wanted to test my own limit, as I consider and classify myself have kind of a boring life, you know. So my social circle is very limited, you know, like, and I don't drink, I don't smoke, I never did. I mean, like, and I'm kind of introvert as well. So I'm kind more of very much having my own bubbles. That's what I believe in, you know. So I decided, like, to test my own personal limits, researching as well, like, and I'm very interested, as I'm very interested as well, like, in gas behavior, you know, like, and physiology, the body physiology as well. So I was just testing, you know, like, testing myself. I mean, like, and at some point of my life, you know, in my technical journey, like, every dive deeper than 100 meter, I was just alone, you know, like, just by myself, you know. That gave me as well, like, some time to think as well. Not being also, like, not having diving as a profession, you know, like, recreationally, just being in the army. So after finishing my deep dives, that gave me some time to think of what I did on the weekends or, like, you know, after some hardcore dives, you know, so...
That's amazing. I mean, how many years did it actually take you to plan and to prep to do this?
Well, it's the whole journey is, I mean, like, if I call it, it's a project, like, 6 years project, you know, a couple of years. I was just thinking, can I actually do it? Or I think I can do it. You know, I always believe there is always a huge difference between who you are and who you think you are. And 4 years approaching the record itself. The world record, it's like, it's a project, you know, like, so I had to do, like, the SWOT analysis or the quad analysis. SWOT is strength, weaknesses, and this is in me, and threats and opportunities in the target that I'm trying to do. And then after the SWOT analysis, I came up with a strategy. Strategy means time, money, to achieve targets or to get to targets. And then after the strategy, you come up with a plan, you know, like team sizing, equipment selection, you know, like it's location, time of the year, you know, blah, 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 all of the rest of the detailed stuff. So the plan can be changed, you know, or like it can be amended. I mean, like but the strategy and the SWOT, this is something fixed.
That's amazing. I mean, so your military expertise, your time in the military, that must have, like, helped you a lot when you were planning on doing this, just as far as training and planning and stuff like that went.
Well, it's I finished some classes with the army as well. I mean, like, it's me being in the special force as well. I'm exposed to some other, you know, like, missions, you know, like, that completely changed my mindset. So the project, it has a couple of parts. I mean, like, it has physical and mental preparation. Physical, it wasn't a problem, actually. I mean, like, as working in the special force, like, waking up, you know, like, not to do certain things, sleeping certain times, you know, discipline, you know, like, physical discipline, you know, this is, that was part of the army training. The other part is, the mental training or visualization and anticipation, because you simply go where no one else has gone before. So even someone went, you know, like, to some deep dives, I mean, like, no one will give you the knowledge because he gonna look or she gonna look from only him or her point of view, you know. I mean, like, it's gonna be different. So the only thing I need to visualize and problems that might happen, might not happen, you know, and then start anticipating any kind of problem, you know. Like, simply I became, like, more defensive. Defensive mean expecting anything unexpected, you know. So this is simply what I was doing in my visualization journey, you know, during the 6 years.
Yeah, I imagine that would take a lot of planning. I can't even imagine doing it. And I mean, you also, apparently you had some help from Nuno Gomez, who was the previous record holder.
Yeah, I believe he's the previous record holder. This is right, yeah.
Wow. And so walk me through what it was like on the day of the dive when you were actually doing this world record dive.
Well, it's this is part of the training. I mean, like you try not to actually think of anything. I mean, like expectation that will increase your drop, you know, like much more. I mean, like you are unexpected. So everything in the trip, you know, like in my journey on the way down, because the dive length, you know, I summarized these 6 years of preparation into 13 hours, 50 minutes. And this is the length of the dive, you know. So I was taking it meter by meter, you know, like on the way down. So there is challenge on the way down. I mean, like there is also challenge on the way up as well, you know, like plus teamwork, you know, like this is what we were working on.
And how many support divers did you have to be able to pull this off?
We had like in water and outside the water, you know. I mean, like, so I believe like we had like about 12, you know, as far as I remember. You know, tomorrow, by the way, going to be 11 years. Tomorrow is the anniversary of my record, you know. So,
good timing having you on.
So, I believe we had 12 persons in the water, and I believe we had 10 persons on the surface from logistics and surface supervisor as well. We had some independent witnesses, they witnessed the dive. We had few as well of them. I mean, like some of them, like with the presence of the Guinness World Records adjudicator as well. He was present on the day.
Now they don't let anybody. They won't. Is it true that they won't let anybody attempt to beat your record now that they've said that no, they're not going to allow any further deep dives?
No, why?
No. Oh, okay. All right. I'd heard that. I'm surprised.
No, the record is in the the record is on the website, you know. So it's anyone can apply for the record. It's an open category. That's what I mean. I mean, like, and you have to follow guidelines, you know, like the thing. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I thought I'd heard a few years ago that they weren't going to allow any other deep dive records because they said, that's it. And
a couple of years ago, there is the lady who just broke the female world record. I mean, like, so it's definitely an open category. I mean, like, it's in there, and also it's on the website.
1,090 feet. Yeah, maybe when I was 20 years old, I wouldn't do it now. I'm too busted up. So. What gases did you use for the dive?
I used Trimix. I mean, like helium, oxygen, and nitrogen, just to reduce the narcotic effect, you know. And I used 10 different mixes during the dive, you know, like to have like a smooth, like to increasing the oxygen window. And to decrease and increase the helium in a gradual way to avoid pathology called isobaric counter diffusion during that dive.
Cool. So what? How? Even though you're on Trimix, you must still have like a narcotic effect when you're down at that depth. So how do you acclimatize yourself to that so that you are thinking straight? Because I can't even imagine at that depth what the narcosis would be like on Trimix or anything.
Well, what I believe, I mean, like all gases are narcotic, including helium, you know, including oxygen itself. I mean, like, but it has different rates, you know, from being narcotic. So, of course, all gases are being narcotic. I mean, like, as well, but narcosis, this is something that you can build up. You know, I mean, like you can tolerate, you know, at some time. The challenge that you get is mainly the HPNS, the high pressure nervous syndrome, which I didn't believe on it before, you know, because all signs and symptoms are very close to each other. However, it happened to me. I mean, like when I started like feeling twitching on my lower lips, you know, and then that's why my target depth was 350 meters, and then I had to stop at 335 meters, you know, due to the HPNL because it reached the maximum, you know, down there.
Yeah. Wow, that's really cool. So, how, and it took you like over 13 hours to do the dive, correct?
That's right. 13 hours, almost 14 hours. Yes, sir.
So what was your descent time?
Well,
how long did it take
15,
you?
15 minutes, 15 minutes to go to the bottom, and then 13 hours, 15 minutes to go back up to the surface. However, I mean, like, the plan, I mean, like, mainly wasn't stopped. I mean, like, the plan, it was to, I mean, like, but we had to modify with that, you know, because it didn't match our technical diving logistics, you know, which to go from 350 meters to 250 meters in 10 meters per minute. And then from 250 to 150, 6 meters per minute. And then from 150 to 90, 3 meters per minute. And then from 90 to 60 to 60 is 1 meter every three minutes. You know, from 150 to 90 is one meter per minute. And then from
1 meter
per minute. This is two way beyond our planning. I mean, like, and then the total length of the dive based on the table, like we got from the company that provided us with the table, is to stay 12 hours, 20 minutes, something like this, you know, but that didn't meet our logistical plan. That was too far beyond our logistics and preparation, you know. So we had to modify that by longer stops, you know, like, and but the gases were the same as agreed with the company.
So what did you do to kill all that time while you were coming up decompressing that long? Because that's a long time.
Well, just thinking, if you're going to make it to the surface, because you have kind of physical drainage and mental drainage as well, I mean, like, during that time. So because at some point, I mean, like, you're mentally drained because you feel weird as well. I mean, like, I feel like I was exhausted. You know, I was tired. I believe, like, I was dehydrated as well. I had some coughs at the bottom, you know, which is, like, it was better, you know, by the time I was reducing the depth as well. I was eating, I mean, like, from 27 meters up to the surface, which most of the time I spent during that time. I was eating one mashed food every meal, actually, was after every 1.5 hour, and drink 1 liter of water every hour using camel packs.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that is definitely a lot of planning. And it says here that you guys used over 100 cylinders total.
It's 90 myself. Yeah, 90 tanks.
Just yourself, 90 yeah. tanks.
Yeah, yeah. 93 to be accurate. I mean, like, it was the bag gas was custom made 20 liters, you know, like steel. And then the middle, there is one tank, you know, like in 12 liters just for suit and wing inflation. And I had four stage tanks of 15 liters, you know, this is on the journey to the bottom. Everything weighed on the bottom, I think, like 123 kilograms, I believe, you know, so.
Wow.
Yeah, and then we started changing from the back mount system, you know, to a side mount system using the team, you know, at 27 meters, just to have weight free on my back, you know, like to maintain my back healthy for the rest of the dive.
Wow. Yeah, I understand that. I actually started diving side mount this year.
Oh, yeah.
So,
all right. I did a breather.
Oh, are you?
Helium is more expensive.
So how long have you been diving rebreather for?
Well, I've been diving in the army. I mean, like I'm using the army. I mean, like since I was a child, since I was a kid. I mean, like back then. I mean, like but that was just like a pure oxygen front mounted breather, and I started to use the back mounted breathers technical usage. You know, back to 2019. You know, so I'm using JJ, the breather.
Oh, okay.
And now I'm teaching.
So when it's are you? And you're teaching it. Yeah. Wow. So are you mainly, do you mainly just dive rebreather now?
No, I mean, like I teach all kinds of courses. I'm an instructor trainer myself, you know, so, I have to have like, I have to have the same configuration of the student, you know, for most of the dives, you know, so no, so I fluctuate between open circuit, side mount, you know, like rebreather, you know, but if you want me, what do I prefer right now? I mean, like for sure. Yes, of course I prefer rebreather. It's much more easier, you know, like no switch, but if, but it's and cheaper as well. But as well, I will, I use back mount for deeper dives, you know, I mean, like like no sensors to rely on. You know, so less failure possibilities, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've taken a look at your Facebook page. Actually, I'm going to have, I will have a link to your website down here so that people can contact you in case they want to do some training with you.
Thank you for that.
At some point. Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, when you're teaching, what is the biggest thing that you try and stress your students and to prep them when you're training them to do tech diving?
What is the main thing that stresses my students, right? This is your question?
Yeah. What's the main thing that you stress to your students as to keep them safe while they're doing tech diving, and how much do you push your students to?
Well,
because you come from a military background, so
yeah, this is the thing. I mean, like it's again. I mean, like it's you mainly make people you change their mindset. You know, everyone dies, but not everyone can live, right? You know, so I mean, like so I'm trying during any of my training. I mean, like to start like. Push their surviving chances, you know, like, so I need to check, you know, where their comfort zone is, you know, like, and then I start to push it. I have like a specific set, standard skills, you know, like, and areas to cover, you know, during the course. This is the agency requirement. So number one, I need to cover up all the requirements, you know, like to make sure that everything is okay. I mean, like if there are some of them, they are weaker than the other, or they need more time. So I spend more time with them. I just cover the standard or the prerequisite and then the requirement of any course. And then if I see him or her like more comfortable, so I start to have, you know, like other skills like bring and introduce other courses as well, like cave diving, advanced rec, like overhead environment, you know, like it's to me this is something important, you know, like to change the mindset of any diver. So I challenge them, you know, of course. I mean, like I show it off sometimes, you know, like from me being, you know, like so I do the exercise, the challenging exercise for it, and then I start to mimic what I do. Some of them they do it, some of them they don't, but it's not a course requirement anyways. But I just want them to see how it's gonna look like when you are under stress. You know, how do you need to think under stress, and this is the most important thing, you know, like to any of my divers, you know. Some of them they don't like it. Some really of them they think I'm bad, you know. So, but if you know, it's I'm fine with that.
So, what's your favorite tech course to teach out of all the courses that you teach? Yeah, usually,
I mean, like I love ice diving. I love ice diving. I teach ice diving almost every year. I mean, like,
you
I
like ice diving.
I teach ice diving. And I like to teach advanced trimix, of course. This is one of my favorite course, and advanced trick. These are my three favorite courses that I love to teach.
Cool. And do you teach a lot of open circuit trimix?
Mostly. I mean, like, yeah, open circuit trimix. I mean, like, this is mostly, yeah, this is what I do. You know, so there are some courses I introduce after, which I don't call it courses. I call it master experience or master classes, you know, which is beyond the core. But this is beyond any course, any agency, you know, beyond the set technical. This is just an experience for courses for people who want to go deeper than certain depths. Yeah.
So walk me through what are some of your master class experiences like? What do you do for those?
Well, this is something that we can discuss on one-on-one, not on a podcast. But this is definitely we can discuss it in private.
Okay, got you. Yeah. Not that you want out there. very interesting. So what are your plans? Do you plan at all to try and beat your record again at some point, or is that it for the depth record?
I'm getting old, man. I'm getting old. I mean, like, I'm not as young as before. I mean, like, it took me 6 years. Well, never say never. I mean, like, so I don't know. I mean, like, it's there are other challenges, you know, like I'm doing in my life right now. You know, I just set a new technical school here in the Red Sea, you know, like with one of the most famous dive centers, Aquarius Dive Center. So right now we just signed a contract, you know, together, a partnership contract, you know, like that we established an academy for tech diving. So it's going to be big, you know. I also have my own company that I propagate corals, you know, so I have a big coral farm here. So I have a signed protocol with the Ministry of Environment and the Academy of Scientific Research and Technology as well. And I propagate corals, and then I deployed like a big awareness campaign, you know, especially for the younger generations. And I empower the Red Sea women as well. I create job opportunities for them, because we go, part of the awareness campaign is like to do cleanups in from single-use plastic in areas that doesn't have garbage collecting system, and then we use this plastic and we upcycle this plastic, you know, into products. So we hire these ladies, you know, so we teach them how to do the work with the thing, along with the coral work, you know. And this is what I do right now.
Wow, that's cool.
And other private business as well. Also, yeah.
Wow, so you're busy. You're involved in a lot of stuff.
Well, that's why we couldn't catch up, you know, like.
True. Yeah. When you're not diving, you're doing coral restoration. What are some of the other types of fun things that you like to do?
I just like to chill. I mean, like, it's too many things happening outdoors. I mean, like, I like to stay on my lazy boy and just read, you know, like, enjoy a couple good cup of coffee, you know. So, yeah, spend some time with my family, you know. So, yeah.
That's awesome. So do you have any kids?
Yeah, I have two kids. I mean, like, I have Adam and Maya, you know. So Adam, he studies psychology in Canada right now, and I have Maya. Ah. She's 10 years old. Yeah, so she's still young.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, does your son scuba dive at all?
Yeah, he does. He does. He does. He does. Yeah.
Oh, where in Canada is he taking his? Where in Canada is he?
Sorry. Which?
Where in Canada is he?
He's in Vancouver. Vancouver. He's in Vancouver.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Lots of good diving out there.
Well, so it's quite far away. It's very cold in there.
Yeah. I did my instructors out there back in the 90s.
Okay.
So yeah. Definitely compared to what you're used to diving, definitely a lot colder.
Yeah.
However, coming home where it's even colder up here, it's insane.
Yeah. Of course.
So does your son do any technical diving?
No, not yet. I mean, like he doesn't have time. He started, I mean, like, and he had some cold this year, actually, I mean, like a few months ago, but he couldn't continue, you know, like, and due to his cold. So we had to stop with him. He's not certified yet as a tech diver.
So you think he might someday want to try and beat daddy's record?
Well, he has different interests anyway. He loves diving, but he has different interests. Maybe my daughter. Yeah. She's very interested in marine biology.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you've had her on scuba, I assume, though, because she's 10.
She's going to be 11. So I mean, like, so she enjoys diving, you know. So she really like to map, you know. She like drawing. So she likes too many things. I mean, like, especially with marine life, you know. So I have great expectations for her.
Ah, very cool.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, I want to thank you again for joining me today on the Deadfoot Diver Podcast, Ahmed. It's been awesome to have you on. I really appreciate you making time for the interview for me. And I will have Ahmed's information down at the bottom here at the end of the episode, so you can check it out if you want to do some amazing tech diving with him over at his new place over there in the Red Sea. And remember to grab an adventure and live, and I will see you next time.
Thank you very much, sir.
Okay.
Thank you very much, sir. I mean, like, thank you for having me in your show. I mean, like, I really appreciate your time. All is good. Not too bad with me.